water is going to just heal me miraculously.
The healing waters. Go back
to... It's not blessed by anyone. Elms Hotel. It comes out of my fridge.
Go back to the Elms Hotel Mineral Spa.
Oh, this, yes, the mineral waters.
Only the best quality banter here.
Oh, yes. So, hi, and welcome back to I'll Tell You What, a spoopy podcast. I'm Miranda.
And I'm Ashlyn.
And, you know, I just have a little announcement to make. I'm no longer promising when our episodes come out.
Yeah.
Because life happens, we all get busy, and we're both tired people. I'm
that being said,
on both of us,
we are trying to do once a week.
Well, yeah. But I'm not promising when that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm going to try for Monday, but we're not promising anything.
Yeah, mine had to go into Wednesday because of work reasons.
She's just lazy.
I'm so tired.
I'm just kidding.
I need to sleep.
I need a nap.
I haven't done anything today. My body's like, no, why are we here? Why are we recording?
I get it. Before we get into it, just a friendly reminder to go, if you like what you hear, clearly, go to your favorite podcasting apps and maybe rate and review and, I don't know, give us a thumbs up and a like and a follow and whatever you can do on whatever apps.
Yeah.
That made me uncomfortable. I don't know why. And a quick shout out to our Patreon, Midas from Midas Media, David Midas.
It's a patron from Patreon.
I refuse to say it correctly.
He is our entire Patreon.
Well, he is at this point. So thanks once again.
Also, if you would like to have your name read out
by our beautiful, I can't say the word, beautimous voices.
Yes. You can find our Patreon and also check out the little goodies and everything we have there at www.patreon.com/ I'll tell you what.
www.lookatme.com. I'm just kidding. Please don't go to that. I don't know what will come up. So don't blame me. I don't know. I don't. it's gonna be a short episode.
Oh, is it?
Quickly saying that, let's dive right in. Ashton, sure. I'll tell you what.
What do you tell me?
Let me make sure I say this right. Julie de Abougini. 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 There you go.
Okay.
Julie de Abougini. So, I first heard about this very interesting woman on TikTok a couple weeks ago. But then a few days ago, another TikTok by the first one, I don't remember who the creator was, but another TikTok popped up by creator at Tom's Thoughts. And just hearing all the crazy stuff about her life made me want to cover her for the podcast. So here Ooh. We go.
Yeah, let's go.
It's one of those, it's not necessarily paranormal, but it's certainly interesting. So a little background. Mm-hmm. Julie de Abougini. It's French. I'm not pronouncing it correctly. I'm aware. Was born in 1673 to a Gaston de Abougini. Her father, who was a secretary to Louis de Lorraine Guise. I'm really bad at French. Or any language.
Could the G be making a J sound in her last name?
I don't think so. Josh said I was kind of saying it right.
Okay.
And he speaks French.
Yeah.
Sort of.
I spoke French in fourth grade, so I don't speak French
We
anymore.
All took French lessons, Ashlyn, and I refused to learn.
Yeah, you did.
I hated it. So, Louis de Lorraine de Guise was the master... who was the... Oh, my God. Comet Armagnac. De Armagnac. There you go. Comte de Armagnac. I think I said that one right, because I put a little pronunciation thing in here. Uh-huh. Otherwise known as Master of the Horse for King Louis the... Oh my God. I think this is the 14th. XIV. It's 14th, right?
Yes.
For Louis the 14th. As part of her father's job, he trained the court pages in fencing Alongside the pages, Julie learned dancing, reading, drawing, and even fencing, just like the boys, which was very uncommon for a woman in those times to even be educated at all.
Right. Let alone
fencing and all the like. Mm-hmm. According to some articles, she even dressed as a boy and excelled at fencing from a very early age.
Aha.
To fit in with the other pages. So our story begins. In 1687, the court de Armagnac had married her off to Sieur de Maupin, of Saint Germain. Mm-hmm. In marrying him, she became Madame de Maupin, or simply La Maupin, per French custom, apparently, to just go by like she last name. So, soon after their wedding, her husband received an administrative position in the south of France. But the Count kept her in Paris for his own purposes, because he is a disgusting creep.
Oh, no.
And by the age of 14, she had become the D'Armagnac's mistress, which is disgusting. Mm-hmm. What a creepy pervert. Anywho,
don't like that.
Yeah, around, well, I know it's a different time period, but I can't get over the age.
And the thing is it is guys being creepy.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
For sure.
Yes.
All throughout history.
Like, yes, she would have been considered to be, you know, of a marrying age at 14 and everything. But if you're in your 50s, 40s, whatever, and you're still hitting on, you know, a very
young woman.
Yeah, no, you're being creepy. Like,
it's
creepy. And there's a big power imbalance at that point.
Oh, yeah. Well, also, he was a count.
Yeah, that too.
So, around the same time, she started up a relationship with an assistant fencing master by the name of Serens was currently on the run from the law for killing a man in a duel. So, the two of them fled to Marseille?
I don't speak French.
Josh! How do I pronounce Marseille?
Marseille.
You get what you get. Get out of here. Thank you.
She's not going to get the accent, dude.
So the two of them fled to the city. Sorry. So the two of them fled the city to Marseille. Was that close to what he said?
Yeah.
Sure. The two of them traveled around and earned money by performing fencing expeditions.
Oh.
No, not expeditions. Exhibitions.
I knew what you were saying.
I didn't even realize the
expedition.
Fencing exhibitions, as well as singing in local taverns and fairs. And at fairs. At one of these exhibitions, a man refused to believe she was really a woman because she was simply too good at fencing.
Of course. So,
Julie took off her blouse to prove him wrong, and the crowd fell silent.
For many reasons, I would think.
Yes, during this time, Julie dressed in men's clothing, but she did not conceal her sex. It wasn't to be perceived as a man, like on the lam. She just liked men's clothing. And this is 16... fair. Like 87, what was it, 1687? Mm-hmm. Like way before her time.
Well, yeah, it's like, you know, just because...
She's like, pants are way more comfortable. What are we doing, ladies? Well, it's
like, you know, some guys like wearing dresses, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they are transitioning.
So, when they finally arrived in Marseille, Julie joined the local opera company. She went by her maiden name for her stage name. Her early appearances on stage were widely admired, mm-hmm. particularly by one young woman whose name is unknown, with whom she fell in love.
Aww.
Needless to say, for the time period, the girl's family did not approve and sent their daughter to live in a convent in Avignon.
Boo.
Yes. But that did not deter Julie. She followed and joined the convent as a postulant. In order to run away together, I'll say in a spur of luck, in a way, not lucky for the nun, but lucky for the girls, an elderly nun died. And so in order to run away, the two girls seized their opportunity, stole the dead body of the nun, placed it in the girl's bed, and then set the convent on fire.
I'm sorry, what? I mean, I know that's like a thing like everyone thinks about. Okay, if I ever had to run away and everything, I'm setting everything on fire.
But they were like, oh, they'll find a singed body. They'll think it's her. We'll be fine. They won't know a thing.
Saw their chance and they took it.
They really did.
So, yikes.
So they escaped. The two were on the run for 3 months before Julie was, before they were like caught, and Julie was sentenced to death in absentia by the parliament in Providence, or province, under the name Sieur de Mepin. As the judges couldn't quite admit the possibility of a woman abducting another woman. So they charged her under a man's moniker.
Oh, good Lord.
Because they couldn't accept that a woman kidnapped another woman. However, they didn't. It wasn't a kidnapping. She didn't kidnap her, but her family was claiming that it was.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Eventually, the young woman was returned to her family, and Julie made the best of the situation by returning to her music studies. She started taking professional voice lessons with a man named Marcel, who was a middle-aged musician slash actor, and he was very impressed by her talent. He taught her until his alcoholism actually got too bad, and mm-hmm. then he encouraged her to go to Paris and join the Paris Opera, which was like the most renowned opera in France. It was also at this time that Julie enjoyed an affair with a Gabriel Vincent Thévenard.
Okay.
Thévenard. Another opera singer. He was auditioning for the Paris Opera and was hired right away. But because he was so infatuated with his new lover, he insisted that Julie be auditioned as well. Audition as well. And the opera reluctantly obliged, and she was accepted. All over the place. It kept saying she was untrained in music, but apparently she had a beautiful voice. And everyone couldn't deny that. So they were like, why is she? Okay, fine. So...
Nice on him, looking out for his girl, I guess.
Julie and Thévenard remained lifelong friends. So they were like lovers on and off kind of thing, but they always remained friends. It was kind of like a friends with benefits situation, I think.
Yeah.
So when she returned to Paris, she rekindled her relationship with her old lover, de Amagnac. Yeah.
Is that the count?
Yeah, the count.
Mm, okay.
Yes. He, well, only because he pardoned her of her crimes. So she was no longer on the lam.
I can understand wanting.
She basically
the
was
the
just
political
like,
move
she
there.
She basically was just like, oh, hey, Count. I'm in a little bit of trouble here. Can I not be in trouble?
Be wanted?
Yeah, the Count was like, okay. What a, and she's like, bye. So she was pardoned for her crimes by the king and went on to become a star, appearing in all of the opera's major productions. She was adored and celebrated, and she became La Mope. They started referring to her as that instead of her maiden name, which was her original stage name. Another opera singer named Dumenil actually started talking like bad talking a number of women, including La Mopin, in the opera, and she got pissed off and she responded by ambushing him, shoving a sword in his face and demanding a duel. When he refused, and the website that I got it from said like because he was a pansy basically. So when he refused, she beat him with a cane and stole his snuff box and watch.
Ma'am, that's a robbery.
Now, the next day, she caught him complaining that he had been assaulted by a gang of thieves. So she called him a liar and a coward, and then threw his watch and snuff box back at him and declared that she alone was the one who beat him up.
Oh, jeez.
She took it as evidence, basically. I don't know if she took it like because she was actually going to steal it.
I think it was more like she was angry, and she's like, I'm just going to take something
this.
You want.
I'm taking this. You punk. Just,
there was like 10 guys. I swear.
There was like 10 guys. Excuse me?
And I managed to escape with my life.
That was me. That was one me. One little woman. That's all I am. Yeah. So, She then attended a ball dressed in men's clothing, which was already like, ooh.
Like you do.
And then she kissed a young woman on the dance floor in front of everyone, which then she was immediately challenged to a duel by three men. She told the men she'd meet them outside, which three she did. Three of them. They were like, how dare you kiss a woman on guard? And she said, I'll meet you outside. And she did. And then she proceeded to take them all on at once and beat them all. But in a tragic turn of events, dueling had been outlawed in Paris. Oof. Julie had to flee to Brussels.
So.
Where she became the lover of Elector, of the Elector of Bavaria.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Julie's just a wild card, you know? However.
It sounds like a bit life kind of thing. Like, have you ever played that game?
Let me tell you. So, however, the Elector of Bavaria found Julie a little too much to handle when, in fact, she stabbed herself on stage with a real dagger.
Method acting, thank you.
To this, he offered her 40,000 francs to leave him alone.
It's like, oh no, she crazy.
He was like, oh.
She crazy.
He was like, please don't hurt me.
Take my money. It's the hotness to craziness scale. Yes. She went over the threshold.
She was going. She replied to this by throwing the coins at the feet of his emissary and ran off to Madrid. She said, nah, son, that's rude.
It's like,
I'm worth way more than 40,000 francs. Whatever. Keep your pennies.
It's anyway. I understand the move, but also...
Keep the 47.
Like the money. But I do understand it was an honor thing. I get it.
She's like, I'm not crazy. I'm just passionate, okay?
But then again, she also, you know, so, went back to the count to get out of
she's
legal
a smart
trouble.
Lady.
So,
okay.
Yes, well, if she was really smart, she should have taken the 40,000 francs, man.
I know. So in Madrid, Julie found work as a maid to the Countess Marino.
Oh.
She resented the Countess, however, like,
probably.
So much. She resented the Countess so much that one night for a grand ball, she decided to dress the Countess's hair with radishes so that everyone but the Countess could see them. So instead of putting flowers in her hair she put radishes in her hair.
I mean, it's a snack on the dance floor.
Let's just say she was quickly back on the road to Paris before the Countess arrived back home.
Yeah, that's fair. You were not exactly in a place where you could be pulling stunts like that if you were a maid to a countess.
I mean, she's Julie, though. She does not care.
She does what she wants.
Yes. She is La Maupin. So, this time, Julie was pardoned for her duels by the king's brother.
Do we know why?
I don't know how that happened. Well, he stated the reasoning why she was pardoned was the fact that dueling laws only applied to men.
Uh-huh.
And for at this time, she was free to go. So then she returned to the stage.
I can imagine the king's brother, though, being like, I don't know, guys, it was kind of funny. Like,
she kind of beat him up.
Like, loophole.
But she's just a woman, you know. Oh,
yeah, but it was really funny, guys.
But it was hilarious. So she then returned to the stage. She went on to perform for the court of Versailles, appearing once again in the most major opera productions. She also introduced the Italian concept of the contralto voice to France.
Oh, interesting.
So for those of you who may not know, the contralto is the lowest female voice part. It's below alto. So it's like real low. Julie had such a notorious presence. And I'm just going to list a few other things that I couldn't put in chronological order for you.
Okay.
She was known for defending chorus girls against the gross men in the opera.
Love it.
She also soon became infatuated with the soprano Fanchon Morel.
Mm.
Showman. She also... What?
Showmans.
Yeah, I guess. She did at one point try to kill herself unsuccessfully. She threatened to blow up the Duchess of Luxembourg... She threatened to blow the Duchess of Luxembourg's brains out. I don't know what happened there.
That sounds like a tension situation.
A little goopy in your eye.
I know. I'm trying to just
Okay, well, it was already out on your eyelash, and then it went back in your eye. Anywho, she even ended up in court for attacking her landlord. And one evening... I don't know. One evening on stage, she bit her good friend, Thenivards.
That's not what friends do.
Sorry. The Venards. Thevenards? Is that how to pronounce it earlier? Thevenard, remember him? Her friend with benefits from earlier?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she bit his ear so bad. On stage. Bit his ear so bad that it bled.
Again, I think she was, like, a little into, like, this method acting thing.
She was a little crazy. Like, but, like, in the best way. so it...
I think she might have just been, like... Yeah. She would have been definitely arrested if she were around today. I'm just saying.
Probably.
I mean,
she was arrested back then, too.
So. Yeah, but, like...
So, after all of this, in 1703, she fell in love with Madame Le Marquise de Florensac, the most beautiful woman in France, or said by the press. La Florensac was also one of the most famous, wealthy, and well-connected women in France.
Oh.
The two women lived, according to one account, in perfect harmony for 2 years until Florensac died of a fever.
Oh.
Devastated by her lover's demise, mm-hmm. La Maupin entered a convent where she died at the age of 33. And those are the lives and times of... Julie
Wild.
De Avigny. Yeah. Wild. This was in a TikTok and I was like, I have to do this now.
Yeah, the thing is honestly, it's probably good that she lived so long ago though, because like nowadays, like with social media and everything, she would definitely be one of those girls who would be like, yeah, you cheat on me and I set your house on fire. Like,
and
I will kill you.
And then she'd have a TikTok of her
actually doing it. And it's like, guys...
She'd have 10 million followers.
Which, I'm going to say this here. Guys, if someone cheats on you...
You can't
You just break up with them.
Like, I mean, you can ruin his reputation.
Yeah, sure. Fine. Reputation's fair game. But, like...
Don't actually break things, because then you're going to get arrested. And yeah, we don't want that for
Don't
you.
Break things. Don't physically hurt someone.
So, there are other supposed stories about Julie Avigny... several different articles across the internet, but I tried to only cover ones that were pretty consistent throughout. So if I saw it in like more than two, then I included
it. Because like there's a good chance some of the stuff was very
sensationalized. Oh, I'm certain that some of these stories have been sensationalized, but I like to think they're all true.
Right.
Because it's way more fun that way.
The thing is even with all this, we don't know too much about her personality either.
She was a bad bee. Okay.
Yeah. But like, I was she, you know, calculating? Like, did she seriously, like, just go after some of these people for their money or something? Or
I think she was, a lot of the articles mm-hmm. came out during Gay Pride Month, actually, yeah. because she was a bisexual woman back in the 1600s. And that back then was already setting her up to be, like, this sensationalist pariah. Woman. Well, but one of the things that most of the articles kept pointing out was how revered she was in the public eye because of, like, her talent and stuff.
So they couldn't do anything about
it? Even though she was constantly in the news for doing all of this crap.
They just let her get away with it?
The public was just like, but she's so good. And I'm sure it was mainly the other women.
No,
honestly, I'm sure it was probably mainly the other women who were just like, but, like, who cares, man? So she beat up some guys because they were, like, threatening her. Okay. I just love it.
I mean, we do see some of that kind of happening nowadays. Even, you know, people excusing... I'm going to say women in particular excusing other women's extremely toxic behaviors.
Yeah.
Because we think they're talented or because, you know, it... Because we have a leg up for once.
Yeah. I like her. I think she's
fine. Oh, yeah, no. It's great. Honestly, it seemed very equal footing for everyone who was involved with that.
It was just very funny. I think she was just a bisexual woman in the 1600s who lived life to the fullest, let's be honest.
Who was a very passionate person.
She's very passionate.
About her craft as well as, you know,
Well, she kept sword fighting throughout her time. You know, she never lost her gusto for fencing and showbiz.
I'm still thinking about the stabbing herself on stage with a real dagger thing.
Watch this.
And the thing is, I don't blame the dude for breaking up with her after that.
To be honest, if you want, I mean, you're the one with a psychology degree, but if you want to look at it from like a psychological standpoint, she may have had a bit of mania.
Yeah.
Especially because of how quick on a dime she turned and how passionately she lived.
Mm-hmm.
Just from everything I've learned about bouts of mania and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She could have had a touch of that.
That's kind of what I mean. Like, I wish we knew more about her actual, like, personality. Yeah, like, if we had, like, letters from her or something like that would be really cool. Or even, like, people who knew her, you know?
Well, everybody just said she's a crazy person who lived and loved recklessly.
And you know what? Sometimes it works for you.
I mean, it worked out for her for the most part.
I mean, she still died at 33, but, like...
Yeah, but, she died with a broken heart, basically. She was,
I feel like that greatly reduced her emotions.
I'm pretty sure that was everything that needed to be conveyed right then, but okay.
No, but like, jeez, I'm still processing all of it. You know,
you're welcome.
The two of the convents. You know, one she tried to burn. The convent that was took the her. One. The convent took her.
She was like under like. It was basically disguised, and she was like, I'm a nun now. Like, literally, one of the websites I read was like, she literally went all the way through, like, confirmation and everything to be a nun to get back with her girlfriend.
But I'm talking about the second one. Like,
oh, yeah. Like, well, convents, yeah. I mean,
I understand it's a place of forgiveness, but, like, she already burned one down.
Yeah. I'm guessing it was a different convent.
Yeah, but like...
She's like, I've learned my ways. I promise I won't burn this one down.
I swear I'll be really
desperate
good.
Times call for desperate measures, ladies, okay? I don't know. It's a role model, really? No, I'm just kidding. So that's all I have for you.
She's a very fun lady.
Yes. That's all I have. I know it's been a short episode, and I will not make apologies for it because it was too good not to cover. So if you have any fun historical figures that, you know, I may not know about or I may know about, but you want us to cover it, let us know. You could email us at matterthanacaterpillar@gmail.com.
I've been thinking about...
Oh, yes, continue.
About you... like some niche interest episodes, bonus episodes you could do. One could be for Major General Smedley Darlington Butler.
Just going into all of his accomplishments.
Just going to the life and times of Smedley.
Anywho.
I think you'd have fun.
If you want to see a picture of Smedley Darlington Butler, you could visit our Instagram. It's somewhere down on the page. Just scroll through. You'll find it. at Madder Than a Caterpillar.
It's there, we swear.
That rhymed.
Or if you've got any ideas or want to keep up to date with any of our newsworthy things, such as like when the episode is actually coming out, you can follow us on Twitter at Madder Than a Cat.
It's going to be a surprise all the time.
We are trying to get more consistent, but at the same time, we're still working full time and trying to pursue other things outside of our work as well, and so it gets very difficult to have a life.
Yep.
Because we do kind of treat this as like a second job as well.
Did I not post a picture of Darlington Smedley Butler?
Smedley Darlington Butler might have come on.
Oh my god. When did we cover that? Oh my god. Am I a liar?
Around Memorial Day.
Oh, no, it's there. The very first picture you'll see is a news article that says Wall Street's fascist conspiracy.
Ah. Also, yeah, if you haven't listened to that episode, you really should.
The picture of Smedley Butler is number 4 on that one. We also have a Facebook page at ITYW Podcast, or I'll tell you what, with the period instead of an ellipses.
And We have a TikTok. You can find us at Madder Than a Caterpillar there. We make funny videos at times. It's been a while since we've done anything with it. But
I don't look presentable right now, so...
Neither do I.
What? You look gorgeous.
Have you seen my face right now?
I try not to look at it. I'm just kidding.
I don't blame you! Anyway.
Continue.
That was it.
You're the worst. Okay, well, I forgot how we ended this podcast, so I'll leave you with this. Tell your mom.
Tell your dad.
Tell your friends.
Tell the FBI agent listening through your phone.
And tell the ghost of Julie de Abignini, who's obviously living in your closet. And good night.
I feel like she's got more to do than, you know, living. Like, she didn't spend her life in a closet, that's for sure.
No, but she's, like, living in your closet and your neighbor's closet. And, like, she's all
and
over
in
the place,
all
man.
Of our hearts. We're all being possessed.
I'm leaving. Goodbye.